Live from CAP Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm your host, Vicky Gonzalez. As 2023 draws to a close and the events of this year are etched into the history books, here on Insight, we like to take a look back at the major events that shaped this year in Sacramento. Over the past 12 months, we've celebrated the city's successes, we have examined its shortcomings, and we always look ahead to the future with a spirit of opportunity and growth. In that spirit, we welcome Sacramento Mayor Daryl Steinberg to see how he's reflecting on the year that was and what lies ahead for Sacramento and himself in 2024. Mayor Steinberg, welcome back to Insight.
Always good to be with you, Vicky.
So you are rounding out your seventh year as mayor, and I think one of the biggest changes has been the dynamic between the city and the county, particularly this year, the new DA, Tin Ho, and he's taken a legally forceful stance suing the city over its response to homelessness. City attorneys have responded, essentially saying the city isn't doing enough. I mean, this has been covered heavily, but how has this new dynamic and new relationship impacted what has really been your top priority since you first took office in 2016?
Well, I choose to focus on the work. And on the work side, the objective facts say that we are making demonstrable progress. We actually have a legally binding partnership agreement with the County of Sacramento, and here is in part what it has resulted in 1 year. In the city and county, over 2,400 people have been placed in permanent housing from shelters. This year, a 38% increase from 2022. Almost 1,000 people have been placed directly from street outreach into permanent or temporary housing, a 55% increase from 2022. And the city has now employed what's called an incident command structure, basically an emergency response led by our fire department that includes the county, includes all the city departments. What we are hearing from people, and we're far from done, is that the city feels in many parts cleaner and safer. And that's because we are actually doing the work. Look, when I started as mayor, we had less than 100 shelter beds. We now have 1,200 a night. We are leading the state when it comes to the construction of affordable housing. Read a great editorial from the Chronicle this week that compared Sacramento to San Francisco. We are innovative. We've dramatically increased our construction, for example, in accessory dwelling units. We just passed a major housing policy that says we're going to promote more duplexes and triplexes and be more creative because we know we have a housing crisis. And so there is politics. And understand that this issue is polarizing. As I go into my eighth year, I intend to leave this office having laid a foundation and a very strong foundation for the kind of change that the public wants to see. None of this is easy. Three people become homeless for every person we get off the street, which speaks to the issue of systemic poverty and the fact that we have to keep people housed. And that's an issue, of course, far beyond the control of just the city government. And so there is a long way to go. I choose, as we say in the parlance, to be a workhorse and to continue to work with all of my colleagues who are interested in actually increasing these numbers that I just described a moment ago, and to leave office, as I said, with the right foundation being set.
The new district attorney has been with the DA's office for quite some time before becoming elected to become the DA. Did you ever interact with now DA Tin Ho? Did you expect the response, within, his first year district attorney?
No, but I also have been around long enough to understand the difference between pure politics and actually putting forward solutions that are going to matter. And, I've been through so many tough stretches in my time. I was pro tem during the recession. I've been criticized heavily. I'm not a newbie on the block as the DA is. And I'm confident in the work that we're doing and the progress we're making. And I, again, just choose to focus on the work. I will say, and because this has been public, I reached out to the DA and said to him, You know, sometimes the best politics and the best governance is when people of different points of view get together. And so I offered him a partnership and said I would stand with him. I would ask our police department to be even more aggressive in arresting people for misdemeanor crimes in these encampments. And they're already doing some of that. And I said, I would do that if you would agree to not only prosecute people, but to divert as many people with mental health and substance abuse conditions as are eligible and appropriate so we get people into treatment. That's the bottom line for people living with these terrible underlying mental health or substance abuse conditions. And his response was to file the lawsuit. So I'm going to do the work. And so is the city, and so are many of my county partners. And I would invite him to join us.
Yeah, the city council, and this is another thing that the city council has kind of been embroiled in. It doesn't directly impact the city council, but it does involve one of the city council members, and that's council member Sean Lalowey. And as you know, you're well aware, the council member has been subject to multiple investigations, including a federal raid at a business that he owns. Now, according to Teresa Clift at the SACB, Councilman Lalowey will not seek re-election. And I understand, as I mentioned, this doesn't directly impact the city council, but you all have been witness to public comment from people who live in the district that he represents. And this isn't your first rodeo. You have been a former city council member in Sacramento, a state lawmaker. You are now mayor. In all of your years, what stands out to you about what's taking place?
Well, I've actually been through this before when I led the Senate with some of my colleagues. And you take any allegations of wrongdoing seriously, and we listen very closely to the public. But I would also say there have not been any charges. There have been obviously reported investigations. And so I think it's appropriate for fairness, if nothing else, that we don't prejudge a situation unless and until there are some formal allegations. And in the meantime, of course, there'll be an election. And there will be a new member in District 2, a district that really needs a lot of help. And, you know, Councilmember Lalowey has, I know, done his very best and done some good things out there. But I think there'll be a new member, and there'll be an election in just a couple of months. And so I understand the concern, and I share it. But I think until there are actual allegations that we can respond to, if there are allegations, that we just have to continue to do our work.
What stands out to you about the public comment that involves, you know, working conditions at one of the businesses that he owns? And, you know, a good share of the employees are, you know, may not have legal status, may be undocumented in this area.
The allegations, at least as the people have come forward, are concerning. But again, you have to be fair. And fairness says that you allow an investigation, whatever investigation is going on, and we know there is one, to actually be completed, and for there to be either some allegation, a formal allegation or not, and then go from there. At that point, if there is, that would be a different story.
Speaking of not running for re-election, you announced this year, obviously, you're not going to run again. And you have close ties with pretty much all of the major candidates that have announced a run for mayor. I mean, you have former state senator Dr. Richard Pan, former city council member Steve Hansen, Flo Kofer, who serves on city committees, and state assembly member and former city council member Kevin McCarty. Do you plan to endorse any of them?
I haven't decided yet whether I will endorse before the March primary. I may not. I think they're all good people, and I think they all have something to offer Sacramento. But I will say that they, whoever wins, and as they campaign, and I understand that there's been campaign and governance, it is really important that they level set expectations. We have a system of governance in Sacramento that has the mayor having one vote, equal to the other council members, the mayor being the only one elected citywide. Now, I tried, as did my predecessor, Mayor Johnson, to change that, and the voters said no. But I think it is really important that the public have a clear understanding of what the mayor can and cannot do. I have willed myself to create with my colleagues and with the city management and the staff and the community some tremendous advances. And we have more than survived during the worst pandemic in modern history. I mean, I look at where the city is now, and it's not perfect, but I see the downtown coming back. I see hotel revenues coming back. I see us becoming a city of music festivals and art and culture. I see the excitement about the Kings. I see the new community center theater. I look forward, and I say we're going to develop the waterfront. We're going to build a regional youth sports facility in South Sacramento. We are going to finish the work on the rail yards, whether it's Major League Soccer or some kind of iconic soccer facility, along with more entertainment. There's a lot to accomplish in this last year. And so I think the next mayor, whoever it is, can take that progress and do even better. But be clear with the voters about the system of governance we have, and the expectation about what a mayor can and cannot do in this system.
You know, when it comes to one of the biggest wins, I think it was the Kings playoff run and light the beam. And that goes back to your days as a state lawmaker when the city was at risk of losing the Kings. I mean, when you take a look at all that has unfolded in these years and Golden One Center and now like a very long overdue playoff run, how does that make you feel?
Well, I take great pride in a lot of parts of my public service, which hasn't just been mayor. I think I've done a really good job in difficult times, but that's for others to judge. But I go much farther back, as you know, including having the power and the ability in 2013 to pass a very controversial bill that prevented the opponents of the arena from being able to halt the project. And that, along with the tremendous work of Mayor Johnson, the city council, the community, Vivek Ranadive, Matina Kolatronis, everybody who was involved in that, I played a big part in helping save the Kings. And so I will tell you that those 2 weeks of that playoff run against the Warriors, my favorite 2 weeks as mayor, because people were just so happy. And, you know, sports in the end doesn't mean a lot in terms of the people's lives. It's not life and death, but it is something like art, like culture, like so many other things in the community that bring people together. And it was beautiful. And I look forward to the spring again as in my last year for maybe even a deeper playoff run.
And we've talked about this in the past, but there is a lot of speculation about what you're going to do next, you know, post-2024. I mean, there's the California Attorney General position if, you know, AG Bonte, when you told us last time, you know, chooses perhaps to run for another office, California Supreme Court judge, perhaps another higher office. I mean, does running, you know, the act of entering another election, does that still excite you?
On some days. You know, I am allowing myself, after doing this for three decades, to at least reflect a little bit on how I want to live my life. And elective office, I tell young people this all the time, elective office is a tremendous way to serve, but it's not the only way. There are so many other ways to contribute. And so I think about that, and I think about having lived life one way, which has been both great, and there are some sacrifices involved. And I will make a decision, you know, at the right time. But I kind of want to see what comes this way, too, because who knows? I'm interested in continuing to serve the public. And I think being an attorney general, I almost got appointed, by the way, by Governor Newsom, came close, would be another way to advance the things that I care so deeply about, affordable housing and equity and climate and all the other things that I've worked on. But I've learned a little bit that, you know, you strive, and that's great. Let it come to you a little bit, and we'll see what comes this way.
So I saved the hardest question for last. What was your favorite new business or restaurant that opened this year?
My favorite new business or restaurant that opened this year. You know, I guess I would answer by saying that I actually take stock and pride in the fact that so many of our small businesses, including our restaurants, have thrived and survived during, again, this very tumultuous time. So I'm just very appreciative of not only the Michelin winners, but all of the restaurant community that has continued to put Sacramento on the map. Look at, talk about downtown. I'll end it this way. We have downtown state workers may come back, and they are coming back, actually, but it'll never be 5 days a week again. So what's the future of downtown? It is living. It's housing, and we're doing more of that. It is entertainment, art, culture, sports, and it is food. Farm to Fork has become so much more than a slogan. It has helped define now the present and future of Sacramento. So to all the restaurateurs and all the people who are putting their capital on the line to create great experience and great food for Sacramento, thank you.
Well, with that, cheers, Mayor Steinberg.
Cheers. Happy holidays, Vicki.
Happy holidays. That is Sacramento Mayor Daryl Steinberg. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, Cap Radio. I'm Vicki Gonzalez.